Well, perhaps we could turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, and verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and scribes questioning with them. And straightway, all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. He asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him. And he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead. Insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and arose. I have on my heart just a few glimpses into faith. We were talking this afternoon with the brother I was with about faith, it being that which links us to the one who sustains, provides, and keeps us. And here we have a glimpse into one who brought his son to the Lord Jesus, and how dreadful and how terrible the need was. The spirit was in him, and from a child up, he had controlled him, and the father wanted him delivered. And so when he brought him to Jesus, in verse 22, he says, it seeks to destroy him. Oh, how often we have that feeling about many of our loved ones, little ones as well, our children, our friends, associates, and relatives. We realize that Satan would destroy them. They would perish, but for the Lord. And this man said, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Well, you know that expression, if thou canst do anything, when you're talking to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Son of God, is not faith. The Lord didn't rebuke him, but what he said really was to the Lord, if thou canst do anything. The Lord said, if thou canst believe, if thou canst believe, all things are possible, because he was with the Lord himself. And so he gave him the key, which is faith. It's a key for all of us in our lives and for all of us in respect to others who we're concerned about, isn't it? It's faith. It's not whether the Lord can do anything. It's whether we believe, because he can. And so the Father right away cried out, and it was with tears. There's meaning here. And now he said, Lord. He didn't say that before. He said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Oh, how lovely that is. And when he said that, from the heart, with tears, Jesus was able to respond. He always responds to faith in his way, but that way is perfect. It's the way we need. And so he told that spirit to come out of the boy, the son, and not to enter anymore. He drove him away. And in leaving him, he rent him sore, so that the boy was as one dead. In fact, many of them there said, "He is dead. He is dead." Well, you know, the next two words in verse 27, "But Jesus." But Jesus. There's two things there that are so important. That man exercised the faith of God. The faith that he exercised was a gift from God itself, but he exercised that faith. And when he said, "Lord, I believe," that's all it took for the Lord to act. He took him by the hand and he lifted him up and he arose. And that boy was whole. Well, how lovely that is. And that word, "but Jesus," no matter how the situation is, no matter how solemn it seems, no matter how hopeless it seems, when we have "but Jesus" involved in faith, why, we should take courage. There was a couple back in a town right near Toledo. Their first names were Marion and Paul. They were an older couple, a lovely couple. Marion was the Lord's. She was saved. She had faith and she lived it. Her sister as well had faith, and the two of them together were quite a testimony for the Lord. But both of their husbands didn't want anything to do with Jesus. They didn't want anything to do with what they called religion, the things that really matter. Her husband's name was Paul, Marion and Paul. He was a lovely man. They were both of the pioneer family in that town. They were both well respected and liked. And they both had a heart for the town they were raised in. And I remember, and Marion and Paul together, when they built the new school, why, they gave, I think it was 20 acres for a playground and a park around the school. And then they gave land for a village park for the people. And then they donated some land for the fire station, a new fire station. And they were very much loved in that town because they were generous that way. Well, a fire took the old homestead and it burned it completely. And Paul, in trying to go in to get some of the mementos and the family things, was burned badly. He never spoke again. And he never really regained consciousness. Never opened his eyes. They took him to the hospital, and he was burned over all of his body. And they had him in the hospital, I believe it was 60 days. And Marion went there every day. And she'd pray. And she'd talk to him, even though there was no response. She had faith. And the only thing that she was concerned about was the soul of her husband, while there was life there. Well, they finally said that he'll never recover, but they couldn't continue him in the hospital, so they moved him to a nursing home. And I remember the exercise she went through on that. So she got herself a job at that nursing home, and they let her have a bed in the same room with Paul. So she was with him. And when she got off duty, she'd go in there and she'd read her Bible over Paul aloud, the portion she would be reading. And then she'd pray. And then she'd talk to him about the Lord Jesus and being saved and accepting him. And she did that for several weeks. Well, she was growing tired and discouraged. And she told me she finally felt there wasn't anything to do. There wasn't any response. And she told her pastor about that. And he told her, "You go right back. Your faith was proper. And you go right back and you continue with Paul." And she did then. She took courage. And she told me that one day she was holding his hand and she was praying that the Lord would save him. And she felt some pressure on his hand. And she took courage with that. And she kept asking for prayers and she kept praying herself. And finally, she was able to tell that he would squeeze her hand at the time she wanted him to. So she said, "Paul, This is so important to me. It's so important to the Lord. If you've accepted the Lord Jesus Savior, just let me know. Let me know. And he squeezed her hand. Oh, she tried again. She said, Paul, I want to be sure. So she asked him to make two times, to do it two times, and he did. Well, you know, she said his countenance changed. He changed. There was peace and contentment in his face. His eyes never opened. But for 2 days, she said she could tell that he was the Lord's. And the Lord took him home. Well, we have here, he was as one dead. And the people said he is dead. That's what the doctors told her. He was the same as dead. Just a vegetable. But she wouldn't give up. She had that faith that made all the difference in the world. And dear friends, let's have that faith. We'll let the Lord do it in his own way, but let's have that faith. This man came and said, if thou canst do anything. Of course, the Lord said, what counts is if thou can believe. If thou can believe. Let's look at a contrast in Luke. Luke's Gospel, the 5th chapter. Luke chapter 5, verse 12. It came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face, and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Oh, how different here. We have a very short incident. Because this man came to the Lord Jesus Christ fully knowing his need, full of leprosy, fully knowing whom he came to, Lord, and not saying, if thou canst do anything, but saying, if thou wilt, thou canst. Oh, how wonderful that is. He said, there's no doubt about it. The Lord could do to him what he needed. It's just, would the Lord do it? And the Lord, of course, said, I will. Because he always responds to faith. And I think this is beautiful. The contrast between the man with his son who said, if thou canst do anything, and this man who said, if thou will, thou canst, is so beautiful. When we come to the Lord on our knees for anyone or for our own problems, let's remember he responds to faith. And it would be dishonoring to wonder whether he could do it, to wonder whether he could undertake for us. There's no doubt about that. And this leper had no problem with that. He knew the Lord could do what he needed. The only question was, would he? He had the faith of God, and he exercised it. And dear friends, the faith of God is what we're talking about. In Ephesians 2, it tells us that by grace we're saved through faith. But that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. And so if you have the faith of God, you have all that you need. There isn't a portion greater to one than to another. You have all that you need. If we could look at Luke 7, the 7th chapter of Luke, we'll see this faith of God is what links the sinner. It goes out to the sinner, to the Lord himself. In verse 34, at the end, we find that the religious leaders and the people around accused Jesus of being a friend of sinners. A friend of sinners. Well, how true that is. That accusation is the truth. In Luke 15, we find that they accused him of receiving sinners and eating with them. And how we know that Timothy tells us this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He is the friend of sinners. And it's the faith of God, that's the gift of God that goes out and links the sinner with the sinner's friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember a track on that line. It was about a bum, so to speak, one who was down and out, was brought into the hospital, the city hospital in a large eastern city. And he was put in they called it the charity ward. It was sort of a welfare ward where they had many beds, suffering from malnutrition. And they had a custom there that at the foot of the beds, they would put a card, and on one column it said friends, and in the other column relatives, so they'd know the names of those that might come to visit and how many. Well, after relatives, they questioned him thoroughly, and they couldn't find out anything except he called himself John. So it said old John on the card, and after relatives, it said none known. And then under friends, it said has none. And that was rather sad. And several days later, a Christian was visiting the hospital, and he noticed that. And so he went to old John, and he started in the scriptures to reveal to him the friend of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. And after a few days, John received the Lord as his Savior. He was saved. And he called the nurse a couple days later, and he asked the nurse to bring him a new card. And she did. And he said, now, under friends, please put Jesus is John's friend. Well, that was lovely, a testimony. And he had a friend. You know, it said he's the friend of sinners, and I'm happy to say that's so true. That's so true. That's who he came to save. Well, we have here in this portion, after verse 36, a woman who was a sinner in that city. Verse 37 says she was a sinner, and she came to Jesus in order to do homage to him, to worship him, and to praise him. Well, the Pharisees, in verse 39, questioned whether the Lord was even a prophet, because they said if he was a prophet, they would have known she was a sinner, and he wouldn't let her touch him. Oh, how different that is from our knowledge of our blessed Savior. He loves the sinner. He hates the sin, but he loves the sinner. And so the Lord said in verse 47, her sins which are many are forgiven. And in verse 48, he said, thy sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees said, who is this that forgiveth sins? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Well, you know, it's the faith of God that linked her to the friend of sinners. It's that faith we're talking about, like the leper had. And so we know in Romans 5:1, she had that peace that we can have. And all of us who have him as Savior do have. It's being justified by faith. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, just as this woman did. Well, I was thinking of her as we were talking about the faith of God in Luke 5, compared to what we had by the man who brought the son. You know, the disciples in Luke 17, this man who had brought his son, said, Lord, I believe, help now thou my unbelief. Well, that was very proper. All of us have moments of doubts, perhaps, and that's unbelief. And the Lord will help that. But you know, the disciples in Luke 17, we won't take time to turn to it, but in Luke 17, the disciples said to the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. Well, that wasn't proper. They had the faith of God, and that's what I'm trying to get across. If you have the faith of God, you've got what you need. The faith of God, the Lord said to his disciples, if you have it, as a grain of mustard seed, you have all that you need, because it's the faith of God. You merely exercise it and live in the good of it. You could ask the sycamine tree to be uprooted and to go into the sea, and it would, if you have the faith of God. So when they said, increase our faith, why, the Lord couldn't do that. He could help their unbelief, and he can do that for us too, which was very proper. It's the faith of God that gives the thought that Paul had in 2 Timothy. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That's the assurance of the faith of God. And I think it's wonderful that we can live in the good of that. Let's turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. Matthew 8 and verse 5. When Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Verse 13, And Jesus said to the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Well, how precious this is. He came to the Lord in the right way. He asked him, saying, Lord, my servant needs thee. And he pleaded for the Lord to come and heal him. And the Lord responded. As I said, he responds to faith. But how beautiful it is to see this man say, Lord, I'm not worthy. Lord, I'm not worthy. Oh, I think that's precious. That's what makes the faith so wonderful. When we realize it's all grace. Whatever God does for us, it's a matter of grace. We deserve nothing. And when he said, I'm not worthy, he put himself in a position that the Lord could respond so wonderfully and graciously to him. Because the Lord responds to one who takes the low place and realizes we have nothing, nothing in us that would call for anything from the Lord. It's all grace in which he responds to faith. And he says then, showing the faith he has, if you speak the word only, if you speak only, my servant shall be healed. Oh, what wonderful faith. To think he came unto his own of Israel, and he didn't find faith like that. And he said, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel, than this centurion had. Well, dear friends, we have it too. He didn't have any different faith than you and I have if we belong to the Lord. It's the same faith. And we can exercise it the same way. Toward our own, toward ourselves and lives, our own problems. It doesn't matter how serious the problems are or the circumstances in our lives. We have that same faith that the Lord loves to respond to. We only have to exercise it and live in the good of it. It can be for others, as it was here. And many times, of course, we do exercise faith of God for others. And how wonderful it is when we do. I was thinking on this one, of that little girl in the tract I read recently, whose family, all but the father, were Christians. Her mother and her two brothers, herself, but not the father. And it was a burden on her heart that her father wasn't saved and didn't show any interest at all. And they went as a family often to the gospel, to the prayer meeting, and to the reading, and to the Lord's Day service. But the father wouldn't go. She often asked him, but he wouldn't go. And it so happened that though she was praying for this, she didn't expect it to happen so soon. The mother and the other two children had to be gone. And she was left alone on Lord's Day evening with her father. And the mother had asked him to watch after her and to be sure to see that she got to the gospel. And he said he would. So when the time came, she said, Father, tonight, since you're going to go with me to the gospel, won't you go with me in and listen? And he said, no, I don't want to do that. I have things to do. He always had an excuse. So he walked her down to where the gospel was. And as they got approached it, she asked him again, after first praying, won't you just come in and sit with me tonight, Father? And her plea was such that it just touched his heart. And he said, well, I will, rather reluctantly. And as they started to go in, he felt a little pressure on his back. And he heard her little voice say, here he is now, Jesus, save him. Well, you know, that faith so touched his heart that he listened with an ear of faith. He that hath an ear, let him hear. And the Lord answered that little girl's prayer, for he was saved. And the whole family were able to go on together as believers. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Oh, how precious that is. And I would say this man tells us that it doesn't matter what the circumstances are or how bad or serious the situation. If we have that faith, we can say, Lord, if only thou would say the word, it'll be done. Let's look to an Old Testament portion in Kings, 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. And he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. And she went from him and shut the door upon her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt and live, thou and thy children of the rest. Well, it's a beautiful story here of faith. It's a beautiful story here in provision by the Lord. And I think there's just a lovely little formula here that I like to just bring out. The first thing is that was empty vessels. That's like the centurion who said, Lord, I'm not worthy. The empty vessels are very important because the Lord can fill the empty vessels. They have to be, when we come to the Lord, we have to be empty of ourself to let him pour in what's of himself. And that's the only way. Well, you can have the empty vessels plus faith. When it said at the end of verse 3, borrow not a few, and she did. That was faith. Because to bring in all the vessels they could find and look to him for filling was faith. And then the Spirit of God, we had at the end of verse 2, the oil. The oil in the Old Testament and in the Scriptures speak of the Spirit of God. And so we have empty vessels, plus the faith and the Spirit of God, and less the world. It said we should shut out the world. It's in verse 4, when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and thy sons. And so how wonderful this formula is, and what was the result? Verse 6, vessels were full. The vessels were full. Well, this is the picture that I wanted to bring out. When you have the faith of God and you turn to the man of God, in whatever trouble or situation you're in, and you act in faith, in that faith that you have, he can take the empty vessels, because how we feel that way and should in this world, And he can fill them with himself and with everything we need in whatever circumstance. And the oil stayed. Oh, how wonderful it is. Live was the response. Live. Thou and thy children can live. Well, we'll go on with verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where there was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread, and so it was, that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto her, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? She answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child. Her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him, and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward, slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. It is well. You know, that certainly touches our hearts. This is the faith in action now. The faith of God in action now. Here she had this son she so longed for, and he died. He was dead. She had placed him on the bed of the man of God, and she decided there's only one thing to do. In faith, go to the man of God. Go to the man of God. And once she was there, everything was well. She didn't know how, or she didn't know what the man of God would do, but she was in his presence. Well, isn't that lovely to see the faith of this woman? To think that she could say all is well when he asked her about herself and her son. All is well. Well, was she justified in that faith? We won't read all the verses that follow, but she was justified. We could look at verse 36. And he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, Take up thy son. And then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. He lived. He was brought back to life by the man of God in response to that faith. So I'd like to just bring out It doesn't matter how bleak the circumstance seems. We can still get in the presence of God. Go to the Lord Jesus Christ, our advocate, our high priest at the right hand of God, and we can say to ourselves and to Him, it is well. And then just commit it to Himself in His own way and wisdom, with His compassion and love, and leave it there in whatever the adversity is. That's faith. It's progression from what we started with, the man who had said, if thou canst do anything. This woman was just the opposite of him. She didn't know what he would do, but she knew that with him all things were possible. And all things would work out well for herself. That's what we have to rely upon. I was thinking on that, no matter how bleak or the adversity or the circumstance, we can still say it's still well with me. There was a man and his family in Fujian, China. They called him Lawyer Gong. He wasn't an attorney, but that was his name, Lawyer Gong. And this man and his family of two children and his wife were Christians, and they lived in a densely populated place there among idolaters, heathens who worshipped idols and worshipped Confucius and different things. And the tight community was such that they had garden walls in their little yard. Their only little yard was surrounded by a wall, and then they had their nice flowers and vines. Well, Lawyer Gong and his family, after a supper meal, would always gather in their little garden, and they would read and pray and sing hymns. And it was a joyous time for the family, all of them. Well, their neighbors often wondered when they heard this every night, how they did that and why they did that. It was so different from what they did on their religious ceremonies. And one of their neighbors reminded the others that when adversity comes, when some trouble really comes to Gong, you won't hear that kind of joyful singing anymore. It just put him to the test, as Satan said to the Lord when he wanted to test Job. He said, take away all the good things that thou hast given him, and he'll curse thee. But of course, Job did not. He had that faith that goes through adversity. Well, Lawyer Gong's son was taken. Was taken home at a very young age. And all of them in that community agreed that we're not going to hear that joyful singing now, because they've had real adversity. They weren't happy about it, but they knew this would be the test. Well, that evening, the family gathered. What was left of them, and they read as usual, and they prayed, and then they sang the hymns of praise. Well, that was the greatest testimony that could have reached that area. I was thinking too, just as I was mentioning this, whatever the adversity, one of the stories that touched my heart most was a man who was a farmer and known as a Christian in the area. He had a little boy who idolized his father, and his wife was a believer. And he grew a crop of wheat that the whole field was magnificent. It was the finest crop of wheat he ever did see himself. And he left it go a little longer than usual so he could enjoy it, and the neighbors would see it as well. Not a matter of that kind of pride, but just thankfulness to God. He needed this crop of wheat badly, and it came just at the right time in answer to prayer. Well, one night, before he was able to harvest, this terrible hailstorm came. And he knew as he laid and listened to it that it was destroying that beautiful crop of wheat. In the morning, the sun rose. He got up, and his boy heard him, got up with him. And his father went out to that field, and the whole field was destroyed. It no doubt would have ruined him. He needed it that badly. And he stood there, sort of kicking his shoe into the ground, and the boy behind him. And the boy said to himself, I'm going to hear something from my father now. He's going to really be upset. Father finally turned around. He put his arm around his son, and he said, let's go for breakfast, son. And as they started to walk, his father started to sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs and sorrows to share. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And that boy told this story when he was older. And when he told it, he said, that was the finest sermon I've ever heard in my life. It's the sermon that brought me to Christ. Well, that's what this woman was doing. It didn't matter what was happening to her. It didn't matter how sad the situation was. When she was in the presence of the man of God, it is well. And we'll just have to leave it there. And I'll just turn to one more portion in Romans 8. Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 8. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is the reason why we can realize and know that the faith of God is perfect in any situation. What we have here in the end of Romans 8. Romans 8 begins with no condemnation, no judgment to those that are in Christ Jesus. And it ends with no separation from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And in the middle, we have the Holy Spirit of God for us. And how wonderful this chapter is. What we have in verse 33, no charge can be laid against God's elect. Who could lay any charge against us that would have any meaning at all? In eternity? For all eternity? There isn't any. I'm judgment free. I am in Christ, and so are you, beloved, if you're his. And none can lay any charge against me. Not at all. And so, number one, we've got no charge possible against one who is in Christ, who is one of God's elect. And the second thing, in verse 34, there can be no condemnation. There can be no judgment face me at all, because that's what faith has done for me. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ. Christ himself. He shall be the judge. And all those who die in their sins will face the Lord Jesus Christ as judge. But he's my Savior. The judge is my Savior. And my friend, I'm safe in him. So there can be no condemnation. And in verse 28, we can see that no evil can come upon anyone who belongs to the Lord, who loves God. Why? Because all things work together for good. And so whatever the circumstance, no matter how dark the cloud may seem, when it comes upon us, no evil can come unto one of his own. And another thing, in verse 32, no good will be withheld from those that love him and walk uprightly. It says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. There's the reason. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We have here a resource for all of our needs through faith. That which links the friend to the sinner and the sinner to the Lord. And we have all that we need. And then in verse 37, no trial can possibly overcome us, because in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. What things? All the things that are listed in verse 35. Distress and persecutions and peril and sword. It can't overcome us because we've already conquered. We have the victory. And we're more than conquerors through these circumstances. And finally, in verse 38 and 39, there's no power and nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because the Lord himself in Hebrews 13:5 said, I will never, never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that promise is a promise I rely on, and it's a promise that all of us of faith can claim and enjoy. Just one last illustration. It really is a story that happened. Father and his little daughter were standing at the graveside of his wife and her mother, who was taken suddenly. And how sad it was to sorrow like that. They didn't sorrow as the world sorrows, because she was the Lord's. And so she just went to be with the Lord. But they sorrowed as one who missed their loved ones. And as they started to leave, friends said to him, come to our house tonight with your little girl and sleep, because it'd be too difficult to go back to your home. And he said, no, we'd rather go back to our home. We'd rather go back to our home and trust the Lord for the night. And so he and the little girl returned to the home. And as he went to retire, the little girl was slow to wanting to retire. And she was slower when she did retire to go to sleep. She couldn't get to sleep. And so he finally moved her little bed into his room alongside of himself, where his bed was, and thought that would help her. And as she laid there trying to get to sleep, she said, it's so dark in the room, Father. Father, she said, you are there, aren't you, Father? And he said, yes, Gloria, I'm here. Daddy's right next to you. Don't worry. So in about 5 or 6 minutes, she said again, Father, you are there, aren't you, Father? He said, don't worry. I'm not going to leave. I'm here. And she asked that a few times until finally she dropped off asleep. Well, when he heard her breathing and knew she was asleep, he laid there a little. Finally, it just overcame him. And he got on his knees and he said, Father, you are there, aren't you? You are with me, aren't you, Father? And you know, the answer came to him so quickly. I'll turn to it. It's in Isaiah, if I could find it quickly. Isaiah 41. This verse came to him so quickly. Verse 10 of Isaiah 41. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Well, you know, his faith was there, but the unbelief came in. And as that man said, I believe, Lord, but help thou my unbelief. We have that need, all of us, at times, just like the little girl. Once she was very sure that that father wouldn't leave her, she could rest. And once he was very sure that God would not leave him, and the Lord who said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, was that same Lord, he could rest. And the Lord gave him the answer in Isaiah 41:10. Well, dear ones, I just wanted to bring out, as we were thinking of faith, the different aspects of it. But it's a gift. And if you've got it, be sure and thank the Lord for it every day. And if you waver at all, don't ask for more faith. You'll not get it. He's given you all you need. The faith of God, no matter how small you think the portion is sufficient to save your soul. And it's sufficient to keep you and the whole journey homeward till the Lord comes for us. But if it's your unbelief that's involved, go to Him. And He'll help you in that. Oh, how wonderful it is. Whatever happens, He's the one that'll sustain us, and always has, and always will. I like to sing number 118, hymn 118. Though numerous hosts of mighty foes, though earth and hell our way oppose, He safely leads His saints along. His loving kindness, oh how strong! When trouble like a gloomy cloud hath gathered thick and thundered loud, He with His church has always stood. His loving kindness, oh how good!